everybody to the show?
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. I don't know all the stuff that you say, so you better go ahead.
What's the name of the show? Do you know that?
No. You probably don't want to put this on your thing here.
You don't know the name of my podcast?
I don't know what the official name, no.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't. I love you. I do. But I don't know the name at all. I probably won't you say it. Oh my god, I didn't know.
Starts with an H. It's two words. Second word starts with the N.
Oh, I do know the name of this. What am I saying? Hyphen Nation.
Thank you.
Welcome to Hyphen Nation. Is that good?
That was way better. That was way better. So, welcome to the Barack Obama Approved World's Greatest Podcast.
That's all. I said I didn't know that.
I didn't expect that. You don't even like it when I say that.
I'm sorry.
Hyphen Nation. I'm your host, Kellen Conley. And I have a special guest once again. This is her fourth appearance.
Is it really?
It's your fourth appearance.
Fourth? Wow.
Yeah, you're in the four-time club.
Yes.
The only person that got you beat is Marcus.
Oh, boo, Marcus, boo.
Yeah.
Boo.
I have my lovely wife.
Aw, I'm lovely.
Angel Conley here.
Hi.
And we're mobile.
We are.
We are headed to Pittsburgh.
Uh-huh.
Because we're going to check out Fresh Fest.
Yep.
Which is the nation's first black beer festival. And my, some people I know, my acquaintances, because I met Day once, never met Ed. Day Bracey and Ed Bailey, they are a part of it. This is the second year they're doing it. And they do the Drinking Partners podcast, which is well-renowned up there. I believe it's still being voted as Pittsburgh's best podcast up there. And we're going to go check it out. Might see Day and Ed and say hello. If not, then we're just going to sample a bunch of beers and go check out these food trucks.
Yes.
So we are away from Aaliyah. Aaliyah wanted to go, and I said, we'll be back tomorrow.
Yes. But she's having fun with Nana and Uncle Christian.
We hope.
She is. She was very excited, and it makes me happier when we leave her with them, and she's excited to be with them. So she is.
Now, last year when I had my friend DJ Hollywood on, we actually did that interview on the day of the first Fresh Fest. So now comes around year two, and we are actually going up to Fresh Fest. But I haven't had Angel on the pod in a minute, and I've been having issues.
Yes, I know.
They know all about it, so it's fine. They heard all about it on episode 104.
Okay.
Yeah, all and right. I told them how you took me to BW3s because I was depressed. And
yeah.
You got me some wings and we talked about things.
Yeah.
But as we slow down for traffic,
always here. Pittsburgh, yeah. Construction, always. Yeah.
Angel took a trip in June.
I did.
And she went on a long, 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 long trip.
Wow, make me feel bad about it.
I'm not trying to make you feel bad. She went to Italy.
Uh-huh.
And she went to Greece.
Yep.
And she took a side trip.
Yes.
With her coworker Maggie and her friend Maggie.
Yes.
Uh-huh. To go see Israel.
Yes. Oh, yes.
So I've heard bits and pieces, and there's a ton of pictures and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I wanted Angel to come on and tell me about the trip, because I always get on here and I tell you about my trips, like the Disney episode. And I'm going to eventually tell you about the Myrtle Beach and New Jersey trip here in the next couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah.
So
that was awesome, too.
How did this whole trip thing come to being?
Well, my good friend, my teaching buddy, Joel Courtwright, he is my counterpart at South Middle. We both teach 8th grade West Virginia Studies. He started an EF Tours group with his wife, and they're taking an EF Tours, if you don't know what it is, it's a travel group that helps students and parents as well. But
does EF stand for Electric Funk?
No.
Oh.
Education. Oh, I can't remember the F. But anyway, EF Tours. It's educationally related tours.
Excuse the rumbling.
Yeah, we're going through construction.
It happens.
But we got to go to Italy and Greece because Joel started this group, and I was very blessed that Joel picked me to be one of the chaperones on his trip because he wanted other teachers to go with him because he knew that teachers understood the importance of how to act on field trips and how to help parents and students, since this is very student focused, and he wants to start this program and grow it so that other parents and kids want to continue going on these kind of trips. So I was
education
blessed to be,
first.
Yeah, education first. There we go. So I was blessed to be a chaperone on this trip. And there was about a little less than 40 people, I think, on this trip.
How many kids did you actually take?
How many kids? You mean kids without parents or kids total? Because that's different. Because
kids total, both.
Okay, kids. I think kids we had, I want to say, kids, I think we were at maybe 16 kids on the trip total. And then we only had two children with us who were both outgoing eighth graders that did not have parents accompanying. So this tour was very family based. We had a lot of parents and we had aunts and uncles and grandparents, some to go on this trip. But we only had two kids who didn't have parents with them.
Okay. Because I didn't see hardly any kids. I know you took most of your pictures you were taking on your own. Like,
yes.
You didn't take a whole lot of group shots.
No, we didn't take a lot of group shots.
I was like, how did I go on this trip and not have any kids with them?
A little less than half were kids. A little less than half, yeah.
Okay. So how much money did it cost us for you to go on this trip?
For me to go?
Yes.
You mean to pay to, like, not counting spending money, right?
No, to actually be able to go on a trip.
Okay, so I had to pay the travel insurance fee, so just in case I got sick or something, which was $150. And then I think Maggie and I had to pay because we were doing a stayover, and I think it was $200 to do the stayover because that had to transfer my last flight to, so that we could stay and I could fly back out on that same using EF Tours.
Okay.
So I think we paid about, I think I paid $350 total to go.
Before you went?
Before I left.
That was it?
That was it, yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, because as a chaperone, how EF Tours works is, one, once you get the lead person, of course, gets to go for free, but then every chaperone, for every six travelers, paid travelers, they can take a chaperone. And Joel gets to pick that because he's our tour leader. And like I said, I was very blessed because Joel and I work really, really well together. And I'm very thankful and grateful for him because this was an experience of a lifetime and I would have never got this experience without Joel.
Yeah, Joel's an awesome guy.
Yes,
I mean,
he is.
We went to his wedding.
Yes,
him and Melissa. Yes.
And I love Melissa because she was my co-teacher, if you remember, like a couple years ago she left for Mountaineer.
She was part of your first winning History Bowl team,
She
too.
Was. She was. She was the co-coach of my first winning history.
You're down a two, Tom.
I am a two. So that's 50%. 50% state champion at South. So that means out of the 4 years I've taught there, I've had two first place teams in the state. You married a winner, baby. How do you feel?
I married up.
I like hearing that. That's nice.
I did.
That's nice.
Because no one else is going to put up my ass. So.
Oh, I love you. I do.
I thought you were going to say, I love your ass. Please don't say that.
I love that too, but I
oh my gosh. Anyway, so it was Father's Day when I took you up to the airport.
Me and Maggie. Yes. Yeah.
And so I dropped you off, and then I came back, and then I recorded episode 99, whatever. It was the Taylor Swift episode.
Okay.
So that was like 102, I believe, was that episode.
Okay.
And so I know I asked you these things while you're doing them, like, how's the airport, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So how was the airport, like, and everything once you got in there? Is it, like, compared to some of your other experiences with flying?
The airport was fine when we were leaving, actually. The big problem was we had two flights going out with the EF Tours, and I was on the second flight. I was on the evening flight, and the first flight was set to leave. I think it was, like, between 12 and 1 or something, and that flight got canceled.
Oh, that's right.
So the whole, and that was the majority of people. Actually, there was only, on the second flight, I think there was only, like, 10 of us on the second flight. 30 people were on the first flight, and it got
canceled.
You had
a plane with only 10 people?
No. 10 of our group members.
Sorry.
No, it was a big plane. Well, our first flight wasn't, actually, because we flew up to, where'd we go?
Toronto
first.
Six.
Yeah, we went to Toronto, and then we flew out.
She wouldn't buy me any Raptors stuff.
I wasn't even really in the
airport. I said, just give me something Raptors championship from
down
Toronto.
The corridor. That's what happened in Toronto. I walked
I'm not even
corner.
A Raptors fan, but I was like, give me some Raptors championships.
Yeah, I'm going to Italy and Greece, people, and he asked for Raptors stuff. That's what he asked.
You're in Toronto.
From my Italy and Greece trip.
Did you see Drake?
No.
Is Drake hanging out at the airport?
He does not hang out at the airport. I'm sorry.
He has his own jet, you know.
I'm sure then it could have been there. But no, the airport was fine, but then, like I said, we had the cancellation, and those poor, poor people didn't even get to fly out that day or till late the next day, meaning they were almost 2 days
behind
us. Yeah,
they didn't leave until, like, Monday afternoon. Right?
Yeah, and they were almost 2 days behind us by the time we caught up, like, they caught up with us. It was terrible. But Joel is a champ. He made everything work, him and Melissa, and Melissa stayed back, and Joel went with us, and Melissa, oh, bless her heart, she did all the phone calls. I'm telling you, if you ever want to travel, you want to travel with Joel and Melissa, because they got this. They do.
Hey. Hey, yeah, you. You like comic books, anime, and stuff? Sure you do. Who the hell doesn't? And that's why you should listen to a podcast called Fresh. It's like audio cliff notes of ancient texts painstakingly translated by us for you. So do yourself a favor. Like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Trust me, we're everywhere. So don't forget, it's a podcast called Fresh on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Anchor FM, and anywhere podcasts are casted.
What kind of forever?
So, first flight is over to Italy. Okay, no, you fly to Toronto.
Yes.
And that took only a couple hours, right?
Yeah, I think it was two.
Okay,
two,
and then
two or three.
You're in Toronto for a brief time while you onboard and then reboard.
Right.
And then you're flying to Italy.
Flew overnight. Yeah, it was an overnight flight, and it was a big, like, commercial plane because, I mean, it was a large group that was going.
Was there an in-flight movie?
I think I watched a movie a little bit, but I was trying to sleep. Because
do you remember
we were
what
in
movie it was?
A Star is Born.
Nice!
I did. It was actually the first movie that popped up, and I was like, yes, I want to watch that, but I fell asleep. I didn't get to watch the whole thing.
I mean, that's understandable. You should have slept.
I was supposed to, because we hit the ground running the next
7 hours ahead of me, and then... No, 6 hours ahead of me, then 7 hours ahead of me, and then you went back to 6 hours?
No, seven. It was 6, 7, 7.
Okay, 6, 7, 7.
Yeah,
okay. And then
Greece
when you went back
Italy
to Greece, you were
Greece
back
and,
at six.
Greece and Israel are the same time zone.
Okay.
Yes.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, so I had that flight, and then I flew again from Italy to Greece, and then we flew out of Greece to Israel, and then we flew back from Israel to Greece, then we flew back from Greece to Jersey. And then we flew from Jersey back to Pittsburgh. So I flew a lot.
You did.
I flew a lot.
You probably flew almost slightly more than I did to go to Miami. Because we flew from, let's see if I remember this. We flew from Pittsburgh to Charlotte, and then Charlotte down to Miami. Well, it wasn't even Miami. It's close to Miami. And then we flew out of Miami, went up to Charlotte. Then from Charlotte, they took us all the way up to New Jersey. And then New Jersey took us back to Pittsburgh.
Ew, that's gross.
Yeah, so you flew a couple more times than we did.
Yeah, I flew a lot. It was, and my legs did not like that.
I can't remember if there was a movie on any of those flights. And for some reason, I feel like...
Normally, the movies are only offered, I found out, like, if you're on more than, like, I think, like the complimentary movies are normally only offered if you're on, like, a flight of, like, 5 or 6 hours or more.
Mm.
Yeah, they normally don't... I mean, you could buy movies normally if you're on smaller flights, but... they want them to be longer flights for the movies. Because we only got movies offered to us on the two long flights.
Right.
Like, we didn't have them.
Across the Atlantic.
Yeah. When we were headed over and back.
What
yeah.
was... I mean, that's when your first time flying over the Atlantic, because you went in high school.
No, I went to Paris and London in high school.
What's it like flying over an ocean?
I love it, but at the same time, it's a little bit terrifying.
Really?
Yeah.
But you have a thing about planes, though.
I do, but mine's now more developed because of like health concerns with my legs and stuff, my neurological disorder. So that's a bigger concern now of mine because I've learned that I gotta be really hydrated, and I mean, I'm only 30. Well, I shouldn't be saying my age, but I'm only 36. But I feel like with my neurological condition, because I have CMT. It affects my body different than a lot of people, which can make it harder on me when I fly and stuff.
Oh, you turned 36 while you were away from us, too.
I did.
So happy birthday.
I did.
Happy
I turned birthday. 36 when I was in Israel. I actually put my feet in the Dead Sea while on my birthday.
Now, you say you put your feet in the Dead Sea.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
Is this a thing that you put your feet in the Dead Sea, or are you just saying you're excited to be able to experience being able to dip your toes?
If you all don't know anything about me, I teach history, which I'm sure you know because I've said it a million times, but I teach history, I love geography, and like experiencing the Dead Sea is an amazing thing that I really never thought I'd get to do. And the Dead Sea is very, very salty. Mm-hmm. Like you could float in the Dead Sea, very, like it makes you float. And so like when you step in the Dead
Sea. Can you swim in it?
Kind of, you're more floating.
So it's not like a place where there's beaches along it.
Oh, there's beaches. We went to a beach, that's where I was when I put my feet in it.
Okay, well that's what I was saying.
Yeah, you can swim, you could go out, and we didn't that day because we were headed into Jerusalem, so it was just kind of a stop along the way. So, but the beach, I wish I'd had water socks or something or whatever, because it hurts your feet because it's just a layer of salt, which I brought some home, you got to see that.
Yes.
But that's the whole, like, ground is salt.
Dang.
Yes, and it's so salty that nothing lives in the Dead Sea.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
But that was a cool experience. It was one I'll cherish forever.
So you take your flight, and how long was your flight across the land?
I think we were in to Rome. It was, I want to say it was a little less than 8 hours.
Okay. So you're on a plane for 8 hours.
Yeah.
So you left in the middle of the night, pretty much, left Toronto.
Yeah.
And so you get to Italy, and it's
in the morning.
6 hours ahead.
Yeah.
I mean, so when did they? Obviously, I guess like they crossed time zones and stuff.
Yes.
So you lost time. No, you gained time.
Gained time. Yes.
Okay. Right.
Going over. Yes.
Okay. So you land in Italy, and
yes.
Then so what is the move once you get in there? You get to there.
Well, we get in Italy. Everything kind of was a little bit different because we didn't have that second group with us.
Yeah.
So they were like, what are we going to do? So they said, well, let's just go do some exploration of Rome. And we're like, okay, that sounds fine. So we go to Rome, and we don't really have too many things planned at that point because we were hoping the group was going to meet us there. But they hadn't, of course, got in. So they kind of take us downtown into Rome. We walk around and we can see the area and just see. It was really kind of more of a culturally embracing experience. And we went down a couple of the little streets and had lunch downtown, which was really awesome.
What'd you have?
I had, it was gnocchi. I had a pesto gnocchi. It was really, really good. It was one of my favorite things that we had there. So they let us walk around and just see.
Because you had gods, obviously. Y'all couldn't just like.
Yes.
Wow.
Fotis.
He sounds like an X-Men villain.
Fotis. Yeah. Well, Fotis was a little bit of an X-Men villain. We actually ended up having to have him removed as our tour guide.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
We want to get into that or no?
Yeah. Well, Fotis just wasn't as pleasant as he should have been.
He was just a jerk a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. And him and Joel were having issues.
It's not like he was trying to do inappropriate things.
No. His attitude wasn't great.
Okay.
So he took us downtown and we went around there. And then our hotel actually wasn't in Rome. So we ended up having our hotel, I think it was about 45 minutes outside of Rome.
Okay.
So we had to get, so after we walked around, you know, downtown a little bit, we ended up getting on a bus, then heading out to our hotel. It was a beautiful, I think it looks like, honestly, but photos couldn't tell me a lot of things. But it looked like it was actually an old monastery.
Okay.
That was converted. And let me tell you, one thing that I hate about European hotels is not all of them have elevators. So I had to carry my suitcase up two floors at first. But then, of course, I told you what happened with Maggie. I'll tell them too. But so we got there and we get checked in our hotel. And there's not many people staying there at the first night that we're there. And so we get in and we're tired and we're sweaty and everything. And Maggie wants to hop in the shower. So Maggie hops in the shower and all of a sudden she starts screaming. And I see water coming out from underneath the door.
Oh,
and Maggie's screaming and she gets out of the shower and she's like, oh my gosh, I'm not sure what's happening, but there's no seal around the bottom of the tub or around the bottom of the shower. And I'm like, well, we need to go let the front desk in. No, but here's the thing with European hotels. A lot of times if you're in an older hotel, the front desk may be in a separate building, which it was. Like, you had to walk a good ways to get back to the front desk. So Maggie's like, I gotta finish my shower first. So Maggie decides to continue showering. Maggie then floods our room, the hallway, and it actually goes into the next door to the people who are next to us.
Did that happen to be people on your trip?
Yes.
Okay, that's
good. I knocked on the door and I didn't let them know. That's I was like, Maggie decided she needed to finish her shower. So finally, and this is later in the evening, we'd had dinner and dinner was wonderful. It was beautiful. And so then I have to walk all the way by myself in the dark back to the front desk and tell them.
Well, wait, why was it dark?
Because by then it was dark. It was like, when by the time we took
the
showers.
Because it was in a separate building.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. So I remember I was seeing
I was like, is there no power in this
building? No. It's like three buildings away. So I'm walking down and I'm walking this path and it's not really well lit. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm in Europe. You hear these horror stories. Who knows? But anyway, so I walk down there and I tell them that the bathroom, what happened and the flooding. And they're like, oh, we'll get somebody. So she gets on the radio and nobody's available. She's like, oh, we'll get it tomorrow. And I'm like, you do realize I'm telling you the hallway is flooded. And she's like, yeah, we'll get it tomorrow. So I walk all the way back there by myself and I knock on the doors in all the hallways and I'm like, hey people, don't come out of the room unless you really have to, or when you do realize there's a pool in the hallway. And so, yeah. So they move us upstairs. I got new keys while I'm down there too. Which, if you've never stayed in a European hotel, it's really interesting. A lot of them do this and I didn't realize this. You have to use your room key to turn on the lights. So, like, when you get in your room, you put your room key in this other little slot, and your lights and your electricity won't work unless...
You have the key.
Unless you have the key. So, of course, I had to take the key back down, so I left Maggie in the dark, and I didn't care at that point because I was mad because Maggie had now flooded our room. So, I took the key anyway. So, I got a new key. Maggie and I packed our stuff in the dark, got the new key, went upstairs to our third floor room, which it was actually two extra sets of stairs to get upstairs. Two extra sets. Took my stuff upstairs. And then we get in that room, and it's about 11:30.
What's the flag flying at, Max?
Did someone?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I've seen it a whole bunch recently. I'm like, who? Why is the flag at, Max?
Nothing I know of.
Okay, so you're on the third floor.
I'm sorry.
I had to ask.
I wasn't sure about that. I'm not sure. But so we get to the third floor and we're exhausted. And so I take my shower and the water pressure wasn't great up there, but I was like, okay, whatever, who cares? So I go to use the restroom and I use the restroom and I flush the toilet. And again, if you've never been in a European hotel, the toilet tank is up at the top of the ceiling, like right below the ceiling line. That's how where their tanks are.
The tank is at the top?
Yeah,
the tank's
above.
And the bowl's on the
floor? Bowl's on the floor, tank's at the top. So I flush the toilet.
Oh, wow.
And everything's fine and everything like that. So then, you know, of course, it fills the bowl back up after with clean water. Well, as soon as it starts filling the bowl, water starts sprinting out the top of the tank. And it's flowing all down the wall and everything like this. And it's, by the way, it's now almost midnight, so I really don't care that that clean toilet water is running down our wall. So, but that was just my Italian...
The toilet water is running down the wall?
Yeah, the clean toilet water, as it's filling up, there's somewhere a leak and it's running down the wall. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, but that ended my evening because I'm like, I'm done with everything at that point. I go to bed.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, so that was the first night?
Yeah, that was all first night. See, yeah, I know. Can you believe that? It's crazy.
Jeez.
Second day, we're hoping to meet up with the group. But they had one flight because they ended up on three different flights to get over there. And one of those flights got delayed. Toronto. One went to Toronto. One went to Montreal first. And one went... No, maybe two went to Toronto. Okay. Two went to Toronto and one went to Montreal.
Montreal's not that far from Toronto, but it ain't like a skip.
No, it was... But I think one of them had to go actually to Jersey before they made it to the third. Like, had to jump several planes.
I don't understand planes.
Yeah, I know. I didn't either.
I love riding on them, but I don't understand where they go.
I don't know. My legs swell. I can't get past that. It hurts me.
I was so terrified.
And then after
my first flight, I was like, yep, this is the only way I want to travel.
I know. It's not too bad. But I get chest pressure, too, which kind of gives me anxiety.
I've never had turbulence, though. So.
Oh, we had some turbulence. Air Canada, we are not friends anymore. They're the ones who canceled the flight.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're just not. And then, of course, you heard afterwards with Air Canada, that was the flight that was headed someplace, and they had to turn around and go back to Hawaii because they hit such bad turbulence, they had like 35 people get injured.
Right.
Yeah, crazy, huh?
Yeah, it's completely nuts.
So then the second day was the really exciting day, I think, because we went to, for those of you who want to visit Rome or have, you know, you probably have certain things you want to see, but we went to the Forum, the Roman Forum, like where government was formed. And then we went to the Colosseum, which, of course, if you know anything about Rome, that's like gladiators and I mean, amazing sights. So we went there and we got a nice tour of the forum.
It's because of what happened in El Paso and Dayton.
Oh.
Until August the 8th.
That makes sense, because we had 2 mass shootings, yes.
Yeah. Sorry.
I don't know, you're fine. But yeah, we went to the forum, we went to the Coliseum. And so they were 2 major historical sites, formation of government.
The Coliseum. Did you get
weird
in there and say, are you not entertained?
No, but I should have. But I was kind of disappointed. The only thing was, it was really cool to see the inside, but they were excavating more on the Coliseum floor. So there was all this like scaffolding and other stuff down there. So
yeah,
it didn't look authentic.
Right.
As much. I mean, you saw my pictures and stuff. But yeah, we saw that. And the people who weren't with us missed the forum and the Coliseum. They didn't get to see it.
Oh, wow.
Which was terrible.
Because they didn't get a chance to go back and redo anything. That sucks.
Nope. We did have one family actually who purchased a night tour and then took, like, whatever European form of Uber is, and Ubered over, which was insane because our hotel was like 45 minutes out.
Oof.
But they did that to go see the Coliseum at night because they didn't want to miss out on
that. I bet you that was pretty, though.
Oh, I'm sure it was. We drove past it. Actually, we were coming back to the hotel that night.
If I ever walk into Coliseum, first thing I'm doing is playing Jay-Z, What More Can I Say? And then Russell Crowe, and we're like, are you not entertained? And Jay went,
And then we also got to see, then we had a day excursion where we got to go see Pompeii, which...
So how was Pompeii? Because for those who don't know, Pompeii is a city that had the surprise volcano eruption happen centuries ago.
Mm-hmm.
And people were obviously living there and going about their normal day.
And they were killed by the ash.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Pompeii was awesome, but it was really crowded. So that was a factor that really played into you getting to, like, we didn't hear our tour guide very well, because one, he had a really thick accent and was hard to understand, and 2, it was just so packed. But we got to walk through the city and see everything, because mm-hmm. of course they've excavated and you know, opened it back up again. And
do they still have, like, bodies that are
yes.
on display that are still hardened by this molten lava and
by
stuff?
Yeah, by the ash. Yeah, yes, covered in ash. I'd want to see it,
but it definitely creeps me out.
A couple of different people. We got to see a child, which is really emotional. And a dog.
Oh, so like Fry's dog Seymour on Futurama.
I'm sorry, I don't watch that.
I've showed you the episode. It's where Fry finds his dog, like, kind of like that, and then he's like, I want to bring dog back to life, and then he decides not to do it because he figures Seymour had a healthy life after he died, or he got stuck, he got frozen, and it turns out Seymour just went to their pizza place and waited on him to come back, and he never came back, and he just died waiting on Fry.
Aww.
It's awful. It's a great
awful.
Episode.
No.
Yeah. But poor dog. Poor Seymour and poor real life.
Yeah, but you got to see that. So it was an interesting thing. It was really interesting to see it. Very sad, though, to think about that. Because the people, of course, had no time to escape. There was no time to get away. And which is interesting because, of course, we read Aaliyah, the Jack and Annie, which is the magic treehouse for our daughter. The story which kind of summarizes what happens and teaches kids about history in a simplistic form. And it's really accurate. It's really, really good. So we did that. That was our extra day. And then after that, that kind of concluded our time in Rome.
Okay. So you're from Rome. So you wake up, like, I guess, what? You stayed in Rome 2 days, 3 days?
Technically three, counting the Pompeii excursion.
Okay. You get on the flight, and how long does it take you to get over to Greece?
I think it was like a little less than 2 hours, like an hour and 30 minutes, 45 minutes.
And you hop off the plane, and you have the whole group with you now, right?
Yes,
everybody's
there.
Everybody had problems.
No, we have everybody now.
Okay.
So
what's the move when you land in Greece, then?
We get to Athens. We ended up getting a new tour guide. Her name's Sandy. We really like her. She was fantastic.
No more
Fotis.
Fotis.
Had to go because him and Joel were just... It was not good. It was not, because Joel's a very laid-back guy, if you've ever met Joel. I mean, like,
very
he's...
Laid-back.
Like, to have someone that doesn't get along with Joel, you know there's an issue. Like, so it just wasn't a good situation. So then Sandy comes along, and Sandy's fantastic. She lives in Athens, so she knows the city very, very well. So we meet Sandy, and I forgot to mention, when we were in Rome our second day, we walked 12 miles.
Oh my gosh.
For all that we did. And that was a concern, by the way, because we had two ladies who were over 70 with us.
And they trooped through it?
One did. One ended up, well, one wasn't there, remember, because she was on that second flight.
Okay.
The other one was. So she didn't end up having to do it. But the one, she was close to 80, actually.
Did they know that there was going to be that much walking?
I think there was an idea that there was going to be. I don't even think I knew that we were going to be walking 12 miles.
That's an awful lot.
Like, I feel like that's a lot for anybody, especially in the heat, because it was really hot.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. So,
I know the most steps I've ever taken in a day when I had the counter on my phone was at Stevie's wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like over 20,000 steps, so I don't even think that still comes near 12 miles.
Right. So let's see. What did we do when we first got to Greece? We met Sandy at the airport. She was our new guide.
She's like, hey, girl, hey.
She introduced herself, and I'm trying to think of what in the order we did stuff in Greece. So, oh my gosh. I'm thinking. What do we do first?
I assume you went to your hotel first.
No, we never went to our hotel first. That was not. Remember, we stayed, if you remember when we were in Greece, we stayed in Loutraki, which wasn't right. In Athens. We were almost 2 hours away from Athens. Our hotel was.
Now, is that to keep the price down?
It is. Okay. It is. And it's also to allow you to see some countryside, too.
Yeah, because I'm sure it's gorgeous.
I mean, because you go, I mean, you saw pictures of where we were right on the ocean. Mm-hmm. We were in this little inlet, kind of. And Mediterranean Sea, Ionian Sea. I mean, we saw several different ones.
Did you go eat?
I think we went in and we went to.
Did you pay to use the bathroom first?
Oh yeah, there was paying to use the bathroom. We did definitely did that.
How much does it cost to use the bathroom?
I think it was because we were in euros. What was it? I think it was like 1 euro. I had to put in to go.
So, okay. Do you have any problem like exchanging cash and stuff?
Don't talk about that. That's terrible. Yes. Because they rip you off when you exchange cash.
That's what I heard.
I mean, they do. I should have probably done it. Well, and I did find out something for those of you who want to travel in the future. You're better off going and taking out a large amount at an ATM in the country than trying to exchange it at the airport, because you get more money at the ATM than you do at an exchange facility.
Yeah.
You do. So I definitely would recommend that.
Okay. Oh. People used to...
Oh, I skipped something in Rome. How could you let me skip something?
Well, I skipped...
The Vatican.
I'm sorry.
How did I skip that?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Can go back to the Vatican.
Oh my gosh, the Vatican. So if you all don't know, Helen's married to a Catholic. I'm Catholic. I was raised Catholic. Aaliyah goes to Catholic Church and everything. So being a Catholic, going to the Vatican was I can't even explain it. Like, for those of you who don't know, the Vatican is kind of its own country.
Mm-hmm.
Like this small little area. But it's very...
Did you see the giant statue? Is that in the Vatican?
Like, the giant?
The giant statue of Jesus. Or is that somewhere else? That's in Brazil.
Yeah.
My bad. Well, isn't there a giant statue there, too?
I mean, there's statues and stuff when you go through and you explore the Vatican. Like, okay. But not like that.
I got my countries mixed up, sorry.
You're fine. So yeah, we explored the Vatican. The Vatican, I was really, really excited to go and experience it. And you get to go in and you get to see, you know, the church that's with the major church that's within there. And you get to go around and see there's like, it's almost like a museum too. Like you get to see there's paintings and artworks and tapestries and stuff within there. And it's very, very beautiful, but right now it's very, very commercialized. Everybody wants to go through it. Everybody wants to see, you know, just to experience and be inside the Vatican. The coolest part, I really think, of the Vatican was, you know, there's that open, big open area where sometimes the Pope will come out on a balcony and, like, do blessings and stuff like that.
Right.
So that was a really cool experience to get it to go out there. And something that I really, really liked was I was able to get, as a Catholic, we use rosaries. So I was able to get rosaries blessed at a mass in the Vatican.
Now, yes. When are you supposed to be blessed by Pope Francis?
It's supposed to be blessed by Pope Francis, but I don't know if I actually... But
so you believe that the church would lie and say...
I don't know that. I think there might have been someone who was, you know, doing it to represent him or something like that. But they were blessed at the Vatican, and that was a cool experience for me.
Super cool.
So I brought one back for my cousin Ivy because she was really helpful with our daughter while we were gone. Well, I was gone while he was there, but I was gone. And... I brought one for Aaliyah to have for her first communion.
Mm-hmm.
And then I brought a family one so that, you know, you and I have one. But I'm so sorry. I forgot the Vatican.
No, it's okay.
I cannot believe it.
It's all right. I've always wanted to see the Vatican.
It is an amazing experience, but like I'm beginning to realize a lot of these very historic sites are also very commercialized now.
Oh, really?
Which just aren't as, I mean, you want, because everybody wants to see them, you know?
I think Marcus always says capitalism is a bitch or something like that.
Oh, yeah, I can't say that when you're referring to like the Vatican.
No, you can't.
Yeah, no, definitely not.
It's a B. So yeah. Was there like what? So how was it commercialized?
I think it was just
at least the Vatican.
Well, it was because there were so many people there. So like there were all these, you know, like what do you call them? Like the divides for how you line up and everything were everywhere. So like you weren't really experiencing and embracing just, you know, the ambiance of the Vatican. You were seeing all the, like, oh, everybody's in line and twisting and turning through these designated
right.
areas.
So it's almost like you're at a theme park in a way?
Yeah, okay. Kind of. Which is, like I said, I still wanted to see it and it was still a great experience, yeah. But
it was... watered it down.
It does, it does. Okay. Yeah. Oh, but back to Greece, I'm sorry.
All right, we're like, back, going back to Greece.
Going back to Greece.
Just took a two-hour flight.
Yeah, we did. We took a two-hour flight. We met Sandy. And we did several different things in Greece. So we did a little exploration in downtown Greece. We got to go to where the first Olympics was held.
Oh, wow.
So we went to the Olympic Stadium. We didn't stay long. We just got to go out and see and look. That's where I paid to use the restroom, by the way.
Okay.
I think I couldn't help myself. I had to. And so we got to walk around there. And also another interesting factor is you'll have people who will be in European countries who will dress up to kind of look like the authentic experience of someone from ancient times. And then they want you to pay them to take pictures with you.
What?
But they want to take the picture with you and then tell you afterwards that you need to give them money.
That's kind of like, isn't it like that in Times Square too?
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of a, where but that's
like,
more like,
hey,
a
I'm
kid.
Just like Spider-Man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like
take this picture and it's like, hey, that's $10.
Yeah, and but you, like us, like those of us that aren't from a major city, like I don't know if we would experience that.
Yeah.
But yeah, there it was the same way. There was a guy, what was he dressed as? He was kind of dressed as a, like almost an early soldier.
Okay.
From Greece, and he was standing in front of the Olympic Stadium, and he wanted you, but he took a picture with some of our kids, and then he told them afterwards that they had to pay him. And of course, the parents were like, "No,
right?
You didn't say that before,
right? You just,
you know, you don't, you can't do that, and then be like, tell us we owe money, and they refused to pay him. So, and he was mad.
Yeah, that's not the cool kind of cosplaying.
No. So we did a little exploring of Greece. We went to the Acropolis, which I had tons of pictures of there. And there was a museum. Actually, we went the first day we went to the museum of it. And the second day we went up there. And it was like ancient ruins,
Greece.
Like Greece.
I used to be really big in mythology when I was a kid.
So yeah. So, yeah, that's what I was going to say. Greek mythology. So that was probably one of the most amazing experiences I had was... the like going up into the Acropolis, mm-hmm. and the museum was cool too because they had kind of rescued some of the like carved out pieces that were no longer attached, and they were worried that over time would continue to wear due to erosion.
Right.
So they rescued those, and there's a museum to go with it, and then there's the actual Acropolis. So we explored the Acropolis. We went to the museum. I actually bought and I don't know if you saw it. It's at the house. But it's a little pillar, and it's a Grecian pillar, and it has, like, you can get your name put on it. But they use it because there's so many stray animals in Athens, and they try to take care of these animals. So the funding from this pillar goes towards helping these stray animals. And Sandy, she works with this program, our tour leader, so she took us there and explained the situation and told us about it, and... but that was awesome. So on mine says Conley, actually. I got our name. And because I felt like I teach and I go by Mrs. Conley all the time. So that meant more, had more meaning to it. And then, let's see. So we did that. And then we also had an excursion to Delphi, which is also related to Greek mythology. Mm-hmm. And it was a long drive. That's the day I got sick and almost passed out.
From being car sick, right?
No, it was from, I think dehydration is really what it was from. Is what, you know, I got really, really sick and I felt really bad. And I told Joel, I was like, I'm not trying to drop like flies. And I kind of was. And so we went to Delphi. Beautiful experience. Temple out in the middle of nowhere. You're getting a little picture.
I'm getting a little video.
Okay. So, yeah. We went to Delphi. And we got to eat at a cute little like family Greek restaurant.
Have you, at this point, had you had any other food that stood out? Because you've only mentioned the gnocchi.
Okay, I like the gnocchi. We did have an authentic lasagna in
Italy.
Yeah, at the hotel, which was the interesting. It was our hotel dinner, and then we had lasagna another day too at one of the dinners that they. Because most of our dinners were paid for. But
for $350.
Yeah, exactly. I know. I mean, I don't make much money as a teacher, so this was a fantastic perk.
Right.
So I did love the lasagna there. That was probably my second. A lot of times we didn't end up, if we were out, we weren't always eating authentically because it was the quick grab kind of stuff. So it wasn't as, a lot of the stuff was still like.
So you didn't really get too many
no.
authentic food moments, I guess.
No, not really. I mean, not as much as I would have wanted.
Gotcha.
So in Greece though, I had an amazing chicken gyro the very first day we got there.
I haven't had a gyro.
Oh my goodness.
Did they have fries on it?
Yes.
I think I asked you that on the phone too.
Yes.
Because we had never had gyros with fries until the Greeks opened.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Matt is friends with the old owner because it's under new ownership now. Mm-hmm. And he said that in Greece, they actually put the French fries on the gyro.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it was. And there were several courses with that one. There was like some kind of appetizer plate and they had like fresh mozzarella.
Love Greek food too.
Yes, me too.
I miss the Mediterranean market.
I love the Greeks. I think they're
the Greeks is great too, but the Mediterranean market felt, I mean, their gyros were fine, but I used to get their gyro platter. And just
I was going to say, Greek food is amazing. I did have baklava while I was there, like authentic nice. Baklava. One I got was delicious. Another I got was not so great. And then I got, was there any other really good Greek food that I had? Those were the ones that stuck out that I really enjoyed. And then Delphi was our last day, it was a full excursion day, but we did have some nice hangout time, in Loutraki, which was like that nice cute little community we were staying in.
Where the hotel was at?
Yes.
Okay.
And, it was nice and it was way cheaper than, being in Athens.
Okay.
And another thing in Athens. Athens is an old city, and so they have their sanitation system isn't that great, so you aren't allowed to flush toilet paper.
Oh, so the trash can's got poopy paper on it. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, in Athens, you are not allowed.
Okay, well, now that we talked about how nasty trash cans are in Athens.
You gotta roll with the punches there. They had an ancient sanitation system, so.
I understand. So you're completely done with Greece now, so.
Yeah, that was the end of our EF Tours trip.
Okay.
So everybody was headed back then.
So why didn't you go back with the rest of the group?
So, like I said, Maggie and I were traveling together, and Maggie has family in Israel, and she's always wanted to go, and she's begged her husband to go and see his family, because it's his family, and...
it's Mike's family.
It's Mike's family, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So Mike, just doesn't really want to travel that far, and Maggie respects that, so she decided, she really wanted to go, and she asked me if I would go with her and do a stayover, and like I said, Joel's fantastic, so he was nice enough to let me do that. Because he has to give me permission as a chaperone, because that was my purpose on the trip.
Mm-hmm.
And so we, instead of flying out with them out of Athens, we actually had to get up earlier than them and get to the airport earlier. We took a cab to then fly to Tel Aviv, is where we flew into Tel Aviv, the airport.
And how long was that flight?
About 2 hours.
No, was this a small airplane?
Yes.
I think it held about, I want to say somewhere between, probably around 60 people. It wasn't huge.
Okay.
Not tiny, tiny airplane, but enough. But it was a really eye-opening experience going to Israel, because Israel is really, really secure. That's the best way to put it. They go through extreme measures to make sure they do not let people into the country who may want to cause harm to their people. So the first thing when we were in the airport, like Maggie and I get up to check in, just get to check in and check your luggage and all that good stuff. And so we get up there, and immediately, as soon as we get in line, they separate Maggie and I. And they take us, two different people take us to two different places, and they ask us, you know, why are we going to Israel, and where are we coming from, and was there anyone who tried to give us anything in the airport to take with us, and, you know, and they
grilling want, you.
Yeah, they want to verify everything. And it was a little unnerving, and to the point that I had to show them, like, my Facebook pictures and my Facebook group to prove I'd been, that I'm a teacher and I was in with the F-Tours on this trip. So they did that, and we went and we checked our bags, and we go and we kind of get into the area to sit and wait, and then I'm called up again. And again, same questions. Why are you going? Who are you going with? Are you carrying
anything? What are you doing in our country?
Yeah, exactly. And I think I was kind of the high alert one because I had no ties to Israel. I was just coming with Maggie, so.
Right.
So they did that there, and I got to go sit back down, but then they called me back up again, the same person did, wanted to ask me a couple more questions, you know, what was in my luggage, if there was anything, you know, that would be harmful. And a lot of the repeats, a lot of the same questions.
All different people, right?
Yeah, different people. And then finally, so we're getting ready to board and get on the flight, and another guy pulls me out of line. And he's like, I wanted to let you know we went through your suitcase. I wanted to ask and make sure the iPad that you have on there is just your iPad. It's never belonged to anybody else. And I was like, yeah. He's like, I took the cover off. I went through it and everything. I just wanted to let you know. And I was like, okay.
Right.
So then finally we get on the plane and we fly to Tel Aviv. And we rented a car because Maggie's bold and daring like that. She's like, I'm going to drive in a country. We don't know. She's
on the wrong side of the road.
No, right side of the road. It is right side.
Still same side of the road.
Yeah. All right. Normal side. Maggie's a boss, though. She is. She was on it. So we rented a car, and we drove to En Gedi, which is where Asnot lives. Which Asnot is a. It's Mike's.
Astronaut?
No, Asnot is her name. Asnat. That's not nice to me.
I'm just teasing.
No, I don't want people making fun of your name. No. And I love Asnot. Asnot and I are friends on Facebook now, and she gets to see everything that goes on over here for us. So, she lives in En Gedi, which is right on the Dead Sea. So I think it was about an hour and a half, hour and 45 minute drive from Tel Aviv once we rented the car.
Okay.
And she lives on something called a kibbutz.
What was the roads like?
Roads were nice. I mean, like, they were pretty typical.
Not that I think they're, like, torn up or anything.
No. Actually, they were pretty nice. A couple potholes, you know, but not.
So there's nothing out of the ordinary.
No, nothing. So we drove out of city life into the desert because En Gedi is in the desert. So beautiful, beautiful scenery. But like I said, Asnot lives on a kibbutz, which if you don't know anything about kibbutz living, it's like communal living. So like everything is in one place. Like they have a school on the kibbutz. Most people work either on the kibbutz or around the kibbutz. They have a grocery store on the kibbutz. They have a dining hall where you can purchase meals if you'd rather go and eat someplace than cook at home. They have all these different houses where people live on the kibbutz, and they have places to park their cars and everything. But it's very much communal living. And then there's a hotel that's connected to it as well, which is part of their income source, which is what we stayed in, which was like the resort kind of aspect of it. And, they have a spa.
That was like the nicest hotel you had.
Oh my gosh, yes. It was gorgeous.
Okay.
It was gorgeous. The surrounding views were amazing. Like I said, you're in the middle of the desert. You're at this like kind of little oasis, and it's just gorgeous. Really hot. High 90s. 100. Really hot.
I think you brought that weather back over here with you.
I wasn't trying to. It was beautiful. But we loved Ian Getty. We spent some time with Asenath. She took us on a tour around everywhere. She was the one who took us down to the Dead Sea for my birthday, because that's when it fell. It was on the Monday of my birthday.
Right.
And we got to see the spa. Like I said, the kibbutz runs a spa.
You got to see it? You didn't get to use the spa?
We could have, but I didn't want to do any treatments. We were getting ready to go to Jerusalem that day, so it would have slowed down our time.
So this is day two now?
Yeah, we got there the first day, went and stayed the first night there, took a tour, and then we left in the afternoon after we went and saw the Dead Sea. Dead Sea was amazing, like I said, beautiful, really hard to like wade or walk into because of all the salt.
Right, because it's dense, I imagine.
Yes, exactly. Then we said goodbye to Asenath, and drove back to Jerusalem, which was closer to Tel Aviv. They're pretty close to each other. And we stayed in just a little local hotel there. It was really cute. Maggie's sister-in-law had recommended it.
Oh, so you stayed at another hotel. You weren't in the same one the whole time?
No, because we stayed in Yeti first, and then we stayed in Jerusalem. That was our final hotel. Right. Well, it wasn't our final one because we had to go back to Greece before we left. But then we were in Jerusalem, and Jerusalem was a whirlwind. We went everywhere. We spent a lot of time in the Old City. And for those of you who don't know about the Jerusalem Old City, it's divided into four quarters. There's the Christian quarter, the Muslim quarter, the Armenian quarter, and the Jewish quarter. And if you've ever watched Aladdin, I swear, the bazaar, like when you walk down through the quarters and they're selling things, the bazaar is just like the guy who starts the story. You know, he wants to sell you things.
The animated Aladdin.
Yeah, the animated.
Because we know Genie stole that role.
Yeah, he did in the beginning of that one. But the animated one, in the original story, they're trying to sell. He's trying to sell you things. Mm-hmm. And he's the one, he's a storyteller who starts it off. And it's the same way. They try to stop you. They want you to buy things. They want to haggle with you.
Yeah.
I mean, exact same way. And there's like kind of a bizarre center, like a passageway in each of the quarters and everything. And in the Jewish quarter, there's actually people who live in that section of the Old City. Most of the other ones is more like visitation and like
tourism.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. But the Jewish quarter has more people actually living in it, because there's Hasidic Jews, which if you've seen them before, they're normally dressed in black. They have the men wear the curls.
Yes.
The women are, you know, wear very plain outfits. But there was a huge community, of course, of that in Jerusalem as well. We actually drove through that area. But we visited a lot of different holy places. I got to go see the Garden of Gethsemane where Jesus was, which was probably the highlight of my trip. There was just something very spiritual about that.
Well, yeah, I would think so.
And then we got to see a lot of the different sites, like where Jesus was nailed to the cross. And this all was within this church, actually, that was built in the Old City. They built a church over the sites.
So you went to the site where Jesus was nailed to the cross, like,
yes.
Literally?
Yes.
As accurately as they can tell, obviously.
Yes, okay. And actually, we went to the place where the tomb was that Jesus was laid into.
Yeah.
And then we also were where they laid his body after they took him down the cross. They have the slab of wood that he was laid onto when they took him down. And that's a very big destination for people to visit. Mm-hmm. And it's all within this church that was built over it, because it was all within a central area. Yeah, I know. And then there was a tradition in there where you would get these candles. You could buy the candles within the church and say prayers for different things, like, you know, pray for peace for those who have passed on, and, you know, pray for others who are still with us. And we did that as well. And then we also, which was really, really awesome, we hired a driver. Really hadn't intended to do this, but OC was the driver that we met while we were there. He picked us up, and we got to know him a little bit, and he actually took us to Bethlehem.
Was, like, what kind of driver was it? Was this like a taxi?
He was a taxi driver.
Okay.
He was a taxi driver. He was doing it to make a living. He was 32, an engineering major in school there in Jerusalem.
Okay.
So he's trying to better himself for his family, and had a little girl. I think she's like, she was like 8 or 9 months old. She was adorable. He showed us pictures and everything. So, you know, married, little girl, Very nice guy, but he offered to drive us around to some of the different sites that weren't close right in the old city, and then stay with us so we didn't have to worry about trying to pick up another cab driver.
Oh, wow. That was nice.
Yeah, it was. It was really nice. And he actually ended up being the one that, it picked us up the first day around the old city, and he took us back to the old city the second day when we wanted to go back too.
Mm-hmm.
But he took us to Bethlehem, and of course, Bethlehem, birth site of Jesus.
Yep.
They built a church over that as well, which was very interesting because a lot of places, claimed this holy areas and used them for worship. So they built a church over that. We went to Bethlehem. Bethlehem was really commercialized, way more built up than I imagined.
Yeah.
And driving across when we came into, Palestine was, because of the conflicts and everything that was going on, was probably a little bit more dangerous than we should have been, but it was a once in a lifetime opportunity, and OC goes over there, so he knows places.
Okay.
So we felt comfortable going with OC, and he stayed with us all day. We took him to lunch and everything like that, and he took us to a nice restaurant.
Was there a large military presence there?
Yes, very much so. Military was everywhere. Yes, and actually, my understanding, if I'm correct, but don't quote me on this, everyone in Israel has to go into the military.
I think that's true.
But I'm not, I can't tell you, like...
You know the...
Except the Hasidic Jews. I'm sorry. They can claim religious exclusion.
The actress who plays Wonder Woman, Gal Gadot,
uh-huh.
She was in the...
Israeli army?
Yes.
Yes, they all have to. The only ones who can claim religious exemption is the Hasidic Jews, and they do. Very big military presence. So basically, when you're old enough, which I believe it's still 18, but you go into the military, and I think it's a minimum of, I think he said 4 years. I could be two.
I feel like that's right. I feel like he was in it for about 4 years.
And then they can choose to go on and continue their service, or they can choose to, exit and go to school or whatever they want to do, want to pursue afterwards. So, but everyone in Israel, except, like I said, religious exemptions, is in the military.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Girls, too, which was crazy to me. Because, of course, in our country, it's kind of changed. Now, girls are accepted in the military, but it was definitely more recently than one would lead to believe.
Yeah,
so.
Over in Israel.
Yeah.
All right, so you had OC?
OC.
Okay, you had OC all day as your tour guide.
Yeah.
And that was Palestine.
Yeah, right? That's when we went to Bethlehem. That was the first day we explored the old city, went to the sites I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second day was like Garden of Gethsemane. There was a beautiful view. He took us up to see all of Jerusalem, the old city and new,
oh, wow.
Which was really awesome. And then he took us to Bethlehem. And so we spent, time there as well.
Okay. So you head back to your second hotel.
Yes.
In Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And then how much more time do you have there?
Well, after that, because that was our day 2 and 3 exploration,
mm-hmm.
The last day was basically we got up and Maggie wanted to go back to the old city one last time. So we made a brief visit to the old city in the morning, just kind of walked around. She wanted to look around a little bit more. And then we just got in the rental car and drove to Tel Aviv.
Okay.
Because that's where we had to fly out of. But we didn't, our flight wasn't till like, it was 4 or 5 in the evening.
Yeah.
So we went down to the beach in Tel Aviv because that's a popular destination for people. That's where they go to the beach, is Tel Aviv. And it was beautiful. We ate breakfast along the beach and then walked around into the little shops. I actually got a foot massage, an Asian foot massage.
Asian foot massage in Tel Aviv.
Yes. Yes, they have lots of foot massage parlors along the little shopping areas.
Yeah.
So, and they specialize in like quick foot massage. And so we had time and Maggie was like, I really would like a massage. And I was like, oh, that sounds great. Especially because my legs had been swelling so much.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, that might be good to get my circulation going before we get ready for these big flights that we're about to take back to the United States. So we did that, and it was really nice, and they were very nice people. Although we walked in the first one we went into to go into, and they were kind of shady, because at first they were...
The first massage parlor?
Yeah, because we went in one first. The first one we saw, we went in, and we told them we just wanted a foot massage, like half an hour, and they told us how much, and Maggie was going to use her credit card because she didn't have that much cash on her.
Right.
And they were like, no, we only take...
cash?
Yeah, they basically only wanted a shekel, which is what it was. And Maggie's like, well, I can go to the ATM or whatever. So they told us how much it was and everything. So we were walking down the ATM, and I don't think they believed we'd come back. So we came back to that one, and they were like, no, we're busy for a while. And so I think it was one of those, like, they were very pretty girls up front, very short shorts, very...
Yeah.
And so I think it was more than a foot massage place.
Oh.
Yeah, but they weren't looking for Maggie and I for customers.
Gotcha.
No, because Maggie and I weren't going to pay what they wanted.
So. Oh, okay.
You see it out of the corner of your eye, at the end of an alleyway that didn't exist before. The light seems to flicker and threatens to sputter out. It's a theater, and there's only one film playing. You don't recognize the title, although it stirs something in your mind. Welcome to The Mirage, the theater of movies that cannot exist. Cinematic Mirage is a podcast exclusive to the Domicile of Dread Patreon about films that were greenlit that never made it to the silver screen. Join Thomas DJ as he explores how the projects came together, why they stopped production, and what they may have been about. It's free to all Patreons at the $5 a month level or more. To learn more and to sign up, go to patreon.com/DJ's Domicile of Dread. Cinematic Mirage. A seat's waiting for you.
The second place you went to.
The second place we went to was really nice. They were it was interesting again because the older woman didn't speak much English, but then there was a younger, like either niece or granddaughter or something, and she spoke, and then a son or a grandson or you know they both spoke English very well. So we got our foot massage there, and then by that time we had to get the rental car back to the airport before we flew out of Jerusalem back to Greece.
Did you run into very many language barrier problems?
Surprisingly, no. Like, not at all. Like, everyone in Italy and Greece and Israel all spoke English.
Yeah.
Like, and all the signs, well, most of the signs everywhere. There was a couple places in Israel that didn't, had everything also translated into English, which made me feel like a kind of a jerk, because everybody comes to America and we expect you to know English.
I know, right?
I mean, it did make me feel kind of like a jerk. But then we flew back to Greece. We had a hotel that was not too far from the airport, and it had a free shuttle, which was nice and easy. But we got there like 5 minutes too late that night that we flew in, so we had to wait an extra hour for the shuttle at the airport for it to come back again. And then we almost all of the people we were waiting on it didn't fit on the shuttle. And by the time we actually got to the hotel in Greece or in Athens, because we were staying in Athens, it was almost midnight, and then we had to get back up at... 5:30. So we basically
got like 4 hours.
Yeah, and then we had to get back up to be at the airport at least 2 hours early, take the shuttle back to the airport, and then
Don't sleep on planes.
No. I mean, I tried to, but it was a day flight.
I get on the plane and I'm knocked out.
Yeah, and it was a day flight. I don't do it. I mean, like night flight, I did sleep on the way over. Day flight, I'm not as good.
Yeah.
So then we flew, of course, from Athens back to New Jersey. And we had a little bit of a layover in New Jersey. That's where I started having all those phone issues, and we were trying to get my text messages back in and all that craziness there. And then I think we had about an hour and a half extra in New Jersey while we waited before we flew back to Pittsburgh.
Okay. And then
Roxy and Michael picked us up.
I was going to say Maggie's son and brother picked you up.
Yep.
And Roxy went the wrong way.
Yeah.
Because you should have been home before midnight.
Yeah, Roxy started driving towards...
Pittsburgh, right?
No.
Like, no?
No, he was driving, like, towards, like, more the lakes. Like, he was headed west, like, hard west.
He's heading towards Philly.
Yeah, like, okay. He was...
Well, that's not west. That's
no,
east.
Philly would be a north.
Yeah.
But he was heading, like, Lake Erie, kind of, like, headed towards the lakes and stuff.
All right.
So,
Ohio.
Yeah, Ohio. He's kind of gone. He's kind of gone northwest. So, and then we didn't realize that for almost 30 minutes, so.
Gotcha.
Because we thought Roxy knew where he was going.
And you got dropped off, and I let you in the house. And,
yeah, you did. And you weren't
drug your bag in, and then
excited
I...
Excited to see me.
I was going through a lot. I was excited to see you.
It's okay. I'd left you for almost 2 weeks.
What do you mean that I wasn't excited to see you?
Kind of like a handshake and a hi. Those of you that are married or in serious relationships, you probably know a handshake.
A handshake and a hi.
It's not a good greeting.
I gave you a hug and a kiss.
There was something.
And then I was ready to crawl in a bed.
Yeah, it was after midnight when I went home.
I was like, all right. It's like, all right, you're home. I got to actually get back to normal sleep patterns and go to bed. And you're like, I don't, like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm trying to sleep. What do you mean?
I know.
That was
so excited to see you.
That was the only night out of the whole time you're gone where I actually was laying in bed before, like, at some point, and I didn't go, and I actually went to sleep. I actually fell asleep probably about 11-ish, and I fell asleep. And you, obviously, you had to be let in, so that was fine. That was right. The only night I was literally in bed and let myself fall asleep and had no trouble doing it.
Because you knew I was back in the United States.
Well, that helped.
And in Pittsburgh.
That definitely helped the time. So you had a quite the eventful 13 days or whatever it was.
It was a trip of a lifetime. Yeah. It was a trip of a lifetime. And I'm so blessed. And I'm so glad that Joel invited me to go. And I'm so glad that you were okay with me going. Because that was
I hated
long...
it. It was awful.
That was
you
a
can't
long...
do it again. Sorry.
Oh, that was a long, long trip. But it was so... I mean, you know me. I'm a traveler. Like, I want to do things like that.
Yeah.
I loved going to Jamaica. I've been to Paris. I've been to London.
Loved it. We went to Jamaica, too.
I mean, that's how she came about. I'm sure she did.
Right.
And, you know, like, this is just, it was exciting. It was, I mean, memorable. It was everything I hoped for and more. Other than the swelling in my legs, I didn't hope for that.
Well, I'm glad that you got to go.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
And that you enjoyed yourself.
I did. I really did.
I'm not sad that I didn't go, because, again, I wasn't ready to leave Aaliyah by herself that long.
I agree, she's
not like she'd been by herself. But,
no, but with my mom or anything, you know, Christian or Brandy. I mean, like, there'd have been people that she probably would have traded off with, but it would have been... I know it was hard for Joel and Melissa, you know, leaving Jace, you know, he's little, and... I mean, Joel's parents took him for that time, but as a parent of a young child, I'm sure any of you who have young kids know it's hard to be away from them for shoot overnight. We're coming back from an overnight trip, and we can't wait to see Aaliyah now, so.
Yeah. So, are you going to go on the next one?
So, I have not been invited to go on the next one yet. They do not have that many people going as of yet. Okay. And Melissa's running this one. So, this one's being run out of Mountaineer Middle.
Okay.
So, Melissa's going, and Aaron Winnott, who is the West Virginia Studies teacher at Mountaineer, who they've kind of co-taught together, are going right now. But they can only, like I said, the ratio is 1 to every 6. And the last time I checked, I think they only had like 13 or 14 people signed up. So right now the ratio has not hit to add a third person. Melissa has already told Joel he's not allowed to go.
Right.
So I'm hoping maybe if they end up needing a third person.
Do you think you won't get invited because you always beat their team in the history bowl?
Oh, no. Aaron and I get along really well now. You know, we didn't really know each other, and, you know, it was very competitive at the beginning because when I don't know people, I'm just competitive and I just always want to beat you. But I like Aaron. She's young and
she just want to go on the trip.
You know, that has nothing to do with the trip. That's kind of mean to say, actually.
I'm just teasing.
Wow. Man, you're hateful on the.
I'm not hateful on a podcast.
I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
It's a joke. Will you stop?
No, but I like Erin because she's just really a nice, genuine person. Like, in getting to know her, I got to spend some more time with her on this trip. And, you know, just interacting with her more because Melissa knows her and Joel, you know, so it's definitely given me a different perspective. Not about near middle fan, but, you know, that's not part of really here nor there.
But you still took the shot, didn't you?
Yeah.
And I just got yelled at.
Yeah, but, you know.
Okay.
Go Stallions. But I do love Melissa and Joel, and I really enjoy Aaron because, like I said, I got to know her more, and I'm glad that I got to know her more on the trip.
Where are they going this year?
So Melissa is taking, and actually, you know, Ivy's going to go to the meeting. Ivy and them may go.
Oh, that's right. She was talking to me about that.
They are going to England. the United Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And
just England?
Yeah, their focus is going to be to see major sites in London and then the surrounding areas. They're going to do some Shakespeare-themed visits and some stuff with plays. And
oh, wow.
So it's really an English teacher's dream, you know, like Melissa, because Melissa, actually, her background is English, not just gifted. And then Maggie's very excited because actually Maggie signed up to go on this trip too. Again, English teacher's dream, just because of all these things. And then they're going to do a lot of the typical things you see in London that everybody wants to see. So I'm really excited for them. So whether I get to go or not, I think the trip will be really, really great. I hope Ivy gets to go on it, and BG and Will, or whoever wants to go, because I think they'll really enjoy it.
Well, there was like a whole big old scene in the new Spider-Man where that took place in London.
So oh,
now,
really?
Now I feel like I need to go. So you have to stay home with Aaliyah. I don't want to go.
Well, you better start raising that money then.
What's that supposed to mean?
Because those trips are not cheap.
It's like $350.
No, that's if Melissa takes you as a chaperone.
That's what I mean.
Oh, you're going to tell Melissa she needs to take you.
Yeah, you stay. Okay. And I'm going to London.
Okay. I would let you do that. Although that's going to exhaust your vacation days, so we're not going anywhere with us then. When you get back, we're going on trips.
Oh my.
I'm just saying. You can go. Have fun.
You can
Melissa would probably enjoy having someone, you know, like a guy on the trip to help, which would be nice. Because Joel can't go.
Yeah, but now you're like, yeah, but it's your family vacation.
Well, you won't have enough days. I'm sorry. I love you.
I love you too.
Get more
days
and we'll...
You pretty much said. Pretty much said it's either London or your family.
No.
That's what I heard.
I just said, yeah, and we know you hear lots of things. We know this. Probably
who's
all your...
We
as in everyone.
Shh.
I'm sure any of your other co-hosts would say the same thing, too.
Marcus wouldn't say that.
I don't know. Marcus.
I'll call Marcus right now.
Marcus would.
It is.
He'd probably say, I'm trying to tell you something.
It's 12 o'clock.
You're hearing what you want to hear.
It's 12 o'clock in San Antonio. Let's call Marcus.
I mean, he's going to tell you.
Yeah, he'll probably agree with you.
That's what I'm saying. I know what I'm talking about.
But the thing is, none of my friends want to disagree with you. They always take your side.
I know. It's because I'm so lovely.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Angel's European vacation. Chevy Chase stayed home, and I guess I just called myself Chevy Chase, so that's awkward. I guess she's Beverly D'Angelo, so that works out. All right. Do you have any words of wisdom you want to say to the people?
I would just say, when you know, like the best thing about traveling is, you know, the new experiences and the awesome memories you make from it, but also make sure you're very aware of where you're traveling and you do some research before you go, especially if you're going to countries, and especially if you're traveling on your own, I should say that. You know, Israel, Maggie and I did do a lot of research before we went and kind of looked into things and make sure we were very aware of what was going on in the country, what we needed to have with us. You know, like I said, it was still shocking with the, you know, how we were
treated,
but it definitely is important for you to know where you're going and understand both the culture and you know, policies, government, you know, everything like that, because you want to make sure wherever you are that you're being safe and smart. So make sure you do that research.
Okay.
And take lots of pictures, because the memories,
you may never make it back.
The memories last forever. They do. I encourage travel always.
And print out your pictures. That's my words of wisdom.
Print out your pictures.
People need to start printing more pictures. Because when I was watching that video game, because y'all know I do that, I was watching Days Gone. There's this one scene where Deacon, the main character, is talking to this colonel. And the colonel is like, this is a picture of me and my wife. This is the only picture I have of us, because everything else was in the cloud. And when society collapsed, so did the cloud.
True.
And I was like, damn, that's kind of tough.
True.
Like, everything is so digitally linked now.
And if it goes away.
And if it goes, it goes, man. We don't have, I mean, externals are great, but I mean, if you don't have power, then how are you going to get your external coming?
Right.
So print a few pictures. That's my words of wisdom for today.
Carry those special ones in your wallet.
Yeah.
You always do.
Yeah, hang up some pictures. Just do something. Besides, just it's great to take photos and stuff, but sometimes it's also great to have that physical copy.
Yes.
Not that I'm predicting the fall society anytime soon. Not. Anywho, this has been Hyphenation, the Barack Obama approved world's greatest podcast, brought to you by Hyphen Podcast Group, a Morgantown, West Virginia based podcast collective, bringing great podcasts to the people. And as always, it's also sponsored by the MARCROB.wordpress.com. That's Mark Robb. That is Marcus's blog where he writes all kinds of great stuff. And he's been debating about writing about the new Tarantino movie. We talked about a little bit on the Spider-Man episode, but always keep your eye on that space or just read some of his old stuff, because I think it's great, and I think he puts a lot of work into it. Recommendation. I'm going to do a recommendation for Fresh Fest, because that's what me and Angel came up to Pittsburgh for.
Yes.
It is the nation's first black brewing festival, black beer festival, in their second year. And it's done with Dave Bracey and Ed Bailey of the Drinking Partners podcast in Pittsburgh. And a whole bunch of other people made this thing work. So we checked it out last night, yesterday evening, afternoon.
Well worth it.
Anyway, it was pretty awesome. Lots of vendors, great music, great vibes. Everybody was super chill. Great. There was live music. There was tons of food. Smoked mac and cheese was worth it, even though Angel waited 40 minutes for it.
Oh, my gosh. Efficiency, people. Efficiency.
What did we get? The garlic.
Oh, those garlic crab fries.
The garlic crab fries. They were amazing.
Yeah, that was our snack when we first got there. That was good.
We tried a lot of beer.
Would like some more cider maybe next year, if anybody hears this.
Yeah, Angel, everybody's going to hear this. Angel didn't have a lot of ciders.
But that one, what was it, the leaning cask?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my, that hibiscus, I forget what it was.
Yeah, because you were afraid it was going to be flowery.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah.
And that girl, what was the name of the one that had the red velvet ale?
Oh, I don't remember her name.
Oh, she made cupcakes and she made red velvet ale. I mean, like, that's the best of both worlds.
Yeah, because you had a cupcake.
Yes, and the red velvet ale.
I didn't want to mess with any desserts or anything
like
that.
Oh, it was worth it.
And then I want to send a shout out to that artist who was carving the books.
Oh my goodness, yes.
Her name, it was earthmetalpaper.com, and her name was J. Kelly Caldwell. And she literally was taking, they were like blank books. I don't think they had any text in them or anything like that. Hardbound books, hardcover books. And she carved the side of the books, and she had faces, and
she had the
Fresh Fest logo. She had a Tupac one, a Nipsey Hussle one. Muhammad Ali, Martin Luther King Jr.
Uh-huh.
Her stuff was pretty cool, so I recommend that you check her out. But we had a great time. I saw Day. Day actually remembered who I was, so I felt good. And we definitely want to come back again next year. So
yes, and we encourage others to try it.
Follow them on Facebook, Fresh Fest. That's how you keep updated with everything. And then always support the Drinking Partners podcast. Again, that's two comedians, Ed Bailey and Day Bracey. I think they're almost to 200 episodes. They might be past 200 now. They've been doing it for a few years now, and they're good. They're good people, and I was happy to be able to go out and support and check out what they're doing, because it was a great event.
Yeah, definitely. I think something that we'll be going to in the future.
I'd say so. So, with all that said, thank you for listening to Angel talk about her trip.
Yes, thank you.
I've been wanting to have her get on here and do it. Your fourth appearance is now in the books.
Yeah.
It may be her last, because she thinks I'm mean on here now.
He is a little mean, people. I mean, like, I just don't know what's going on. Don't be such a hater. We gotta work on that. You and Aaliyah sometimes.
You're talking to me like I'm Walter Jeffrey.
Oh, Walter Jeffrey. That's who you need as a guest appearance. I bet you he, what does he do? I don't know if you call it barking, what you call he does.
Whines.
Whining.
Walter Jeffrey's the worst.
He tells a story. If you've not checked out Walter Jeffrey,
don't do it.
He's adorable.
That's not a recommendation.
It is a recommendation, nope. Walter Jeffrey.
Nope, don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Pretty
Please
Maddie.
Don't do
falls
it.
To the side because Walter Jeffrey takes the spotlight. Pretty Maddie.
She's talking about these French bulldogs.
No, Pretty Maddie's not a French bulldog. Pretty Maddie's something else.
Walter Jeffrey's a French bulldog.
Yeah, check it out. He's cute.
Don't check
you
it out.
You can follow him.
Don't.
Facebook?
Don't.
Twitter? Think he has an Instagram? Yeah. So, check it out. That's my recommendation.
You don't recommend Fresh Fest?
Oh, I recommend that too, but I thought...
You only get one. Okay, Fresh Fest for both of us.
And Walter Jeffrey.
Ugh. Yeah. Anyway. What's the name of the show?
Hyphen Nation.
Okay. Just checking.
Advertising.
No, you were at a loss for words yesterday, so...
No, I knew it. I just didn't, you know... Sorry.
It's okay.
It's been a very long week.
It has been, but we had a relaxing...
And it was my last full week off, you know.
We have had a relaxing almost 24 hours, though.
We have.
It's
we
been
had a
nice.
Fantastic time together. We don't get it that often.
No, it was really nice.
Yeah. Thanks, and everybody, for listening about my trip.
Shout out to Walter's Southern Barbecue. Barbecue. We
Walter's
checked it
barbecue.
Out.
That was really
second
good.
Time I've been there in Pittsburgh. That was delicious, too. And all the vendors. Yeah. We had a great time. Anyway, we're 17 minutes away from home, so.
Yeah.
I guess the only thing left to say is thanks, y'all.
Don't forget to subscribe and comment. This has been a Hyphen Podcast Network production.
Dirt at Festus. I'm getting paid at exposure.